Welcome to the fourth episode of the Sink and Swim arc for Dungeons & Pops Fictional Heroism. When we last left our heroes, they had come to the horrifying discovery that the sea monkey that Peaches and Wesley had found in the lake was actually a transformed child. With a little bit of magic and a little bit of luck, the party managed to return them to normal, even as they noticed more things were starting to come out of the lake. On Alistair's suggestion, Vivian went into the woods to bring back the truck and narrowly avoided a couple monsters as she narrowly managed to get it back to the party. If you haven't noticed on our Twitter, we are opening a bunch of one-shots open to listeners and guests alike on our show. If you want to join, just check out the Social Club Discord server and we have the sign-up sheet in the announcements. Our promo for this is Shrimps and Crits, a wonderful Monster of the Week campaign involving the most ordinary monstrous you'll ever encounter, a searcher out of time, and the most unlucky of all mundane.
Hey, sorry to interrupt your favorite podcast, but I'm here to tell you about Shrimp and Crits, an actual play podcast with a southern twist. My name is Ian, and I am the keeper for this show as we play Monster of the Week by Michael Sands. If you like the sound of swampy monster mayhem, gators gone shopping, and magical fairy mischief, you will be right at home in the remote panhandle town of Gullicochica, Florida, where spooky danger has begun to wash ashore. Shrimp and Crits is the story of Sarah Payne the Mundane.
All I'm asking for is answers. That's all I'm looking for, is the truth.
Ari Green the Searcher.
You know the proclamations of the Fae. I suggest you follow them from now on.
And Ray Ray, the most mundane monstrous you will ever meet.
Mr. Zeus, I'm a big fan. I knew you were real. And Ray Ray's just like bowing in front of this swan.
As they fumble their way through protecting their skeptical town from mysterious evils. We release new episodes every other Monday on the podcatcher of your choice. Hope to see you soon in sunny Gullicochica.
So, it's been a minute for our coffee crew and their chaotic adventures.
I still love that name.
Yeah. So, let's just recap what state everyone is in.
Mild panic.
Yeah. No. I want, like, each individual character. That's okay. So, Peaches? Peaches or Tiff or whoever wants to go first?
What are we going first on? What are we doing?
Just, what state is your characters in? Like, I don't remember if I damaged you or not.
Oh, I don't have any damage or anything.
Okay. Untouched?
I don't either.
Okay, because Tiff, you were the one in a decent amount of danger last session.
Yeah, I don't think it ever actually like hit me or anything, though, because I think I got away before it.
Yeah, I just want to remember, because I'm dumb and don't want to KO you, maybe.
You're not dumb.
Peaches is clear. Yeah, I gave you guys the chance to recover, didn't I?
I believe so.
I don't think we've really been in a whole lot of situations where we've like had the potential of getting hurt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think I took like one harm and have healed it, so.
Yeah, we're good harm wise.
I have two harm.
Yeah, so heal a harm because for your standard rest of the session, as you are all allowed back into the former abbey and it's such.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, you are let in by a apprehensive young man. It's like, "Oh, it's you again and you brought friends." Why is the sky so dark?
Believe me, I don't think you want to know.
Okay.
Although, it's mildly concerning that you live in this place and you don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Granddad just keeps to himself.
Tell me, how do you feel about the supernatural and various other ghosts, goblins, and long-legged spookity things?
He's just got this blank, just, okay, I'm going to be grabbing the phone in a second here.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was the case. I think you should ask your grandfather.
Okay. You're welcome to come in and come in out of the rain. You know, you...
Much thanks.
Yeah, much.
As you step in, it's much as you left it. Various historical things of the history of the town is just out on display. There's a small sitting area if you want to, you know, for general living. He sort of guides you there and sets you up.
I'd be more worried if it did change in the 5 minutes we were gone.
Well, it's not exactly the same. You can definitely see reality bleeding around the edges, just a bit. The photos seem to be a bit more active. The eyes seem to follow you a bit more. The dark spaces seem darker. Light seems to flicker and move. Just everything's a bit off. Like the world is changing around you.
Nope, not a fan of that noise.
So, your setup, I imagine you have things to talk about, considering your escape and other such.
I think we do. Where do we want to start? That was actually in character. Alistair looks at everybody and goes, "So, where do we want to start?"
There are panicked, vulnerable looks exchanged.
That's what I thought. We are in quite a pickle, my dear friends. I wouldn't say we're stuck, but we have the old man and the child who were taken by the EMTs. We have the father here who knows what's going on and a son who does not. We have one potential ally and one potential casualty. And I don't know about you, but I personally don't want that boy's life on my hands.
Same. Wait, no, I don't think that's the voice, is it? Same! Wait, is that the voice?
No, that sounds about right.
Okay. The problem I'm seeing here is how do we get to the other kid? I mean, or
the one from your vision?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm no Egon Spengler, you know? I don't know how to cross the void or whatever it is we need to do.
I think Alistair just kind of stands up and looks out the window towards the pond. Is the ferryman still there?
You can't necessarily see the pond from here, but you can definitely feel that gaze and all the other things that seem to lurk out there. You barely even notice the old man as he darkens the doorway. I take it you've had a bit of a scare. Looks like you've seen a ghost. He's looking right at Tiff as he sort of says that.
At Viv?
Yeah, Viv. Oh god, I can't...
It started.
Oh no. I think she would just kind of look at him and just like, yeah, you could definitely say that again.
So I'm going to take it that the situation has gotten considerably worse.
Well, we saved a small boy from the pond and removed the curse that was inflicted upon him, so there's that. And he and the old man that was splashing about in the pond have been sent to the local hospital, so there's that. The problem is, well, you can feel it, can't you?
Oh, I know. Just got off the phone with the hospital. About halfway through my call, I heard shuffling of pigs and other unnatural sounds. I take it that's something to do with you.
Let's just say it's been hard for me to eat bacon the past month or so.
What do you need? We're at your disposal. He takes a seat next from all of you.
Well, to be completely honest, I'm wondering what exactly you can offer us to help. You seem fairly mundane in the grand scheme of things. Not to be insulting. Although I know that's going to be hard not to be insulting.
Ideas are dangerous things. Especially when things start to go wobbly around the edges, I suppose.
To say the least.
Really, it's what you feel is necessary to accomplish your goal.
Alright, this dude's voice has changed from the last time I remember it. He wasn't so sinister sounding. What's up?
Read a bad situation.
Read a bad situation?
Yeah.
Yuri.
Who else? Anyone else want to make any rolls on this man?
Well, I think, like, don't we, like, isn't it, like, supposed to be, like, only one person making those roles, typically?
I mean, yeah.
That's an 8.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So you got an 8, so I think that's 2 questions from the list.
Which, have up, because I'm smart.
Same.
I'm trying to remember them, but I don't remember them off the top of my head, which is mildly annoying in its own right.
So you have your, what's my best way in? What's my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What's most vulnerable to me? What's the best way to protect the victims?
That has nothing to do with the creepy vibe I'm getting off this guy right now.
I suppose someone could try to use magic on him, but you've already rolled for this, so does someone else want to roll?
I'm going to ask, are there any dangers we haven't noticed? On a 7 to... Yeah, I only have one question, so that's my question.
There isn't any dangers that you have noticed here, but you can definitely tell that outside the light and the warmth of this place are unknown threats.
Oh, goody.
They are slowly but surely prying their way through the cracks.
Oh, boy.
Pushing at the boundaries of what is known and unknown.
All right there, Rod Serling.
All right. So, yeah, he just continues to eye you with his more sinister tone and nature.
Well, if you heard pigs on the line, then it seems that my dear old friend is keeping an eye on us. Considering he sent us to this little shindig, it shouldn't be a surprise. Irritating, but not a surprise.
Yeah, that's not a surprise at all.
He is completely unmoved.
The only option I'm seeing is talking to that ferryman in the pond. Now, Lizard, I say that, but I want to watch this man's facial expressions as I just so casually suggest speaking to a ferryman to cross over.
You can just hear it ever so faintly. The grinding of teeth. Spite and hate. He sort of pulls out a tome from a nearby bookshelf, lays it out. I expect that is unwise. Draugrs are creatures of grave misfortune.
That was a draugr.
It stands on its boat only to watch its victims drown. Its unfortunate gaze is stealing the most insidious thing in even the bravest of souls.
Well, I have never been said to be brave. Stupid, most certainly, but never brave. So I should have no fear of this draugr. Frankly, I'm glad it is a draugr. I thought it was something much worse. And Alistair's being casual and blasé. He's trying to just kind of tweak and poke to figure out what's going on with this dude now.
What of you? He's looking at Peaches, who appears to have remained silent for most of this. What tricks do you have?
I don't really have tricks.
Are you so sure? His head sort of rolls to the side a bit.
I mean, I have pepper spray. I'm sorry. I have pepper spray.
He sort of chuckles at this. It's like, but are you so sure that's all it will take? Perhaps it's in your poison.
To be fair, we are talking about a zombie here, so I would say that pepper spray would not do much, dear Peaches.
No.
I didn't think it would. I was just, you know, he asked, so.
No, that's fair.
I don't expect she'll have a way around the draugr. No, you have something much more potent. It writhes in your mouth, silvered and clean. A tongue charming, voice sweet, to convince and connive and lay rest.
I think Vivian would probably look between the two and say, this is the weirdest pickup line I think I've ever heard.
I honestly thought it was going to end in a rhyme.
He is being a bit more creepy than usual.
Yeah, there is something wrong with him. You are getting a intense amount of heat coming off of him. Like, he basically is emanating the same kind of heat as a space heater at this point.
I fucking knew it.
I knew it too.
I'm just going to be real, I didn't know it.
It is our old dear friend. Come to see how we're progressing.
Was that said aloud?
Uh-huh.
His sort of blank expression sort of breaks into that traditional Cheshire smile. Just the one that goes way too wide on the face. And you can just tell the old man you met before is not home right now.
Forgive me for being so intrusive.
I'm used to it. The poor man you're possessing, however, might not appreciate it. Especially since I saw that photograph of you and them in their study.
Happier times. Happier times.
Please never say that phrase again, for you make it creepy.
Oh, God, you're right. He's pretty creepy with that.
Well, I suppose you probably have figured out that the world around us is going sideways very, very quickly.
When isn't it? But yes, it seems to have picked up a particularly quick speed this weekend.
I suppose you should gather what you know, what you feel. You know the Kelpie. What does it do have to do with the boy in your dreams?
The warlock?
Easily. He is an unfortunate creature.
Out of character, I'm going to have to say that this is going to be a bit of a pain for all of us because it has been, like, over a month since we recorded.
Yeah.
And we did have that one episode we had to, we decided just wasn't scraps. Good enough. And yeah, to yeah. scrap. So, I'm not going to lie. My brain's kind of,
yeah,
blanking on what we know.
Yeah. So to sort of fill,
that's kind of where I'm at as well.
I think my understanding is that the boy is the one causing the opening the door.
I suppose that books start to fall off the shelves, opening to various pages of legend.
Okay.
Something to give you a jump start. So, everyone's allowed to roll Investigate Mystery on whatever books. There is a book on witchcraft and various practices, a book on spirits, death, and a book on superstition. So, each one of you will have a chance to investigate one of these books.
So, who wants what?
I think that Wesley would go for the Book of Spirits.
Alright.
I mean, it makes sense, thematically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. That's a 10 on the dice, and I have 0 sharp, so...
Okay, so 2 questions on the Book of Spirits.
What is being concealed here?
There are events and circumstances that can lead the spiritual realm to line up more strongly with ours, and this can lead to things that are known as verges. You can literally step into the spirit realm from the physical if you go in the wrong.
Or right, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, and one of the common examples noted is liminal spaces or reflection in a pond or a barrier of water can often conceal a verge.
You said liminal spaces, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, our new plan? We wait until 2 a.m. and we go eat at Denny's.
Oh.
Tell me I'm wrong! Tell me I'm wrong!
You actually are wrong. It's 3 a.m. at Denny's.
3 a.m. is the witching hour, apparently.
Okay, so I know what my second question is, and where did it go? At least, I'm kind of using it to figure out where the spot is here, because we've seen stuff coming out of the water, but we've gotten in the water and we haven't really seen anything in the water that suggests this portal. So I'm trying to figure out from my information of going in the water and what we've encountered where we need to go to get to the other side and pull this kid out.
If you had to guess, this I think lines up more with your vision. You remember that he was in a very, very dark space. Like, you could barely see him in comparison. So if you had to guess, you'd have to go as deep as you can. You imagine that you'll disappear, basically go missing, into the water if you go where the dark and water meet, which is, you know, as deep as you possibly can go.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, this is just reminding me of that one episode of Xena, where she swims to the bottom of the lake to get to the underworld.
Something like that. Peaches? Viv, which book do you want?
I guess I'll look at the witchcraft one.
Alright, give me an investigate.
I got it. Let's see. 12?
Yeah, okay. So that gets you 2 questions from investigate.
I guess, what is being concealed here?
The souls of dead witches usually need to be wronged in a very great way to bring them back. It's well known that some witches or the like will declare vengeance on their death. Or some such, but that isn't always the case. Some do it out of fear, others do it out of other emotions, grief, loss, imposing that on others.
And then there's the dumbass virgin who lights the candle on Halloween to bring back the sisters.
Yee.
Because he was dared to.
Yee.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep interrupting, it's just it's been a while and I enjoy all of your company, so I'm enjoying myself.
No, you're good.
Yay. Yeah, I feel appreciated.
I guess my next question is, what can it do?
Well, expanding the verge and breaking down the barriers appears to be its finest. Basically, you gather that this is deeply tied to an emotional reaction. The emotions run high, the spirits feed off of the ensuing energies, and then use that to proliferate and expand their own gains. It's also a thing for psychics as well. Their abilities are linked to high emotions. Panic, fear, anger, love, lust, whatever. Whatever gets them going, I suppose.
So we had witchcraft, we had spirits, what was next? Fairies and death, I think you said?
I think it was superstition and death.
I'll do death.
Alright, give it a roll.
You said investigate the mystery? That is a 7. So I have one question to ask.
Alright.
What is being concealed here?
Death can often diminish power. It usually doesn't increase it. You gather sometimes doesn't necessarily mean ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are parts of the spirit world that are actually very high energy, which requires a living being to affect or deal with.
So there's a good chance our little warlock friend is not in fact dead, but somehow in one of these adjacent areas.
Yes.
Alive, struggling, and feeding it with his energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I'm going to have to launch myself into the lake, is what I'm picking up here.
Something like that.
You know, funny thing, Alistair's thinking the same thing.
And Peaches, final book on superstition if you want.
Okay. First, out of character, I have to ask, is the kid wizard still a thing, and is it a thing that we know?
It's something that you're picking it up now.
It was part of Wesley's vision from the very first. That story element has stayed through the scrapped episode, and Wesley did explain it to us, so we do know about it.
Okay. Because I wasn't sure if that kid was part of the vision or the one that was drowning, so I just wanted to double check.
That's good.
No, they're two separate kids.
Yeah. One was blonde, one had black hair.
I know they are, which is why I had to know which one was part of the vision and which one we know about.
The black-haired one is the one at the bottom of the lake. The blonde-haired one, it was the one that you saved.
And the blonde-haired one was also the missing kid that we saw in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Okay, so there. Everything lines up, thankfully, at least for me.
Yeah, sorry. Feel free to ask for clarification.
Okay, so I rolled a 2. So no matter what, I did not get this.
Well, you did get experience.
Yeah, so I think this takes you roughly an hour. And the boy's son is just increasingly perturbed as his grandfather just goes about the house doing various things. Do you need anything, like tea or something? He kind of is just like stepping in.
I thought this guy was I thought he was his father, not his grandfather.
Oh, no, this is the old... No, you're right, it's his grandfather.
Yeah, no, I thought the grandfather was the one that got yeeted out of the lake and we sent to the hospital.
No, there were two old men.
Okay. So, Alistair is just like, my boy, your dear grandfather is currently not at home. He has been, let's say, time-sharing with an old acquaintance of mine for the moment while we figure out how to end any motions to the window that out there.
Just for a second, you do see a face in the window. Just for half a second.
Oh, boy.
There is a, they're getting closer, come bellowing out of the...
I noticed. Long story short, dear boy, the supernatural is real, and you're in the middle of a shitstorm. And if you don't believe me, and I transform into a fox right there.
Okay, that definitely beats the candle trick that he keeps doing.
And Alistair transforms back.
Okay, I think I'm just having a mental breakdown because I've just seen my dear old grandfather light candles with his fingers.
I rolled a 9 on use magic to put him to sleep.
And he's out.
It's like, my dear boy, you need a nap. Psst. Right? And Alistair just kind of shuffles him over to the couch.
Yep.
Okay. The last thing we needed was him having a mental breakdown when we were trying to save his ass as well as the city's. With luck, he'll remember this as a weird dream.
Cool. I give you about an hour before the lights go out and you're left to fend for yourselves by candlelight.
Well, then we have an hour.
Well, you'll always have the circus, I suppose.
He just kind of gives a look, I suppose. My dear friends, do we have any plans?
The bottom of the lake. We have to get to the bottom of the lake. What I can figure out here, that's the way to get to him.
Okay. Now the question is, do we all go, or do some of us stay here? The problem is that this place needs to be a sort of last line of defense, as it has been for the lake for the past, 100 or so years, Lizard?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And there should at least be one person to help bring whoever goes into the lake back. To be completely honest, I'm a little torn as to where I should be in this. Do I go into the lake because I would know how to navigate, or do I stay here to bring back whoever does go? But, as my dear old friend says, we have but an hour. 60 minutes. Tick-tock. We don't exactly have time to waffle back and forth.
Shouldn't we leave Wesley, since he is able to use his psychic abilities to, pull people out?
That would be useful if something were trying to keep us in the lake, yes. The other part is the fact he was the one who has the vision. If he goes, he could lead us to the warlock. So again, it's one or the other.
I don't see how we'd be able to pull you guys out, though, if we don't have him out, outside.
No, I agree. It's just he's also useful as a navigational guide once we're there, which is the crux of the problem.
I could, if I came, I could, I could yeet you guys out.
With a bit of trickery, you could also yeet yourself, I think.
I'm tempted to say he dabs at depth. That doesn't make sense for the situation.
Mean to the end. I mean, it's Spooktober, isn't it?
I have an idea.
No way.
Yeah, you're afraid of whenever I say that, aren't you?
I mean, considering your last idea managed to get you out of a meat grinder, yeah.
I think it has to be Peaches and Wesley that go into the lake.
Yeah, why do we think it's a good idea for me to be in the lake?
Because as creepy as the dear old friend put it, you do have a way with words, my dear. It is also...
I don't know if you've noticed, but talking's a little hard underwater.
My dear, you will be going to a spirit realm. You will be underwater, yes, but you will probably find more than not an easy time of breathing, moving, and walking. And how many fairy tales have you heard where the hero princess talks their way out? I truly believe that your ability would be beneficial in getting that child out of the darkness if we are to save him and stop this. Pairing your ability to talk with Wesley's ability to know, since he had his vision, means that you are the pair that are uniquely qualified for this mission.
I think when he mentions the princess talking her way out of stuff and saving this boy, I'm trying to paint this in a normal way to make it sound supernatural, but I think the clouds part just enough that a sunbeam comes in through the window and shines on her, and the specks of dust flying through the air look almost like they sparkle as she just has this look of hope in her eyes, like, I can do this.
As the candle that did that is blushed out, how to save this one.
Alistair takes Peach's hands and goes, yes, my dear, I truly, honestly believe you can. And please know that even though I am a trickster and a talker myself, I would not put you into a danger that I would not go myself if I had to. Unfortunately, I don't think this is my quest. I think this is yours. Wesley, you're a nerd, but I think you can do this.
Just in case, does anyone have a knife or something? Because my gun's jammed from the last time I went into the lake. And it does kind of hurt when I do the yeet.
Alistair will give you his, actually, I think he does have a knife or something.
I have a magical dagger. I have to give it away.
I have a multi-tool. It's one harm hand, useful and small, so I will give this to Wesley.
Okay, good.
I was like, I can give him my two harm hand magical dagger to borrow.
Okay.
And I'll just keep my sword and my magnum.
God, the fucking, like, expert gets the best toys, don't they?
I'm bad at
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Vivian's a badass. Carries around a sword and a magnum, which is cool.
God, where the fuck does she keep the sword is my only real question.
Just on her back.
Oh,
just
God.
Just on her back.
You know, I do have a big knife, but it's only one harm.
Viv is so much more perturbing now because, like, I really should stop you more for conspicuous weapon carrying, but okay.
Nah. I'm badass. I'm allowed. I'm a badass card.
Nah, it's fun for the story. It's fun to let some of the characters have swords and shit.
Damn straight. And because I am linked to the supernatural, what with my background and knowledge, having me on the outside with the reference books also means I could probably pull some use magic if I need to help them out. So it's actually better that I stay out and those two with their uniquely mentioned abilities go in.
Yeah. So, yes, we have a plan for a team going into the lake. And does Tiff have any ideas for what she'll be doing during all this, aside from protection or whatever?
I mean, I'd imagine that keeping her close to the reference books as well would be good and beneficial, since she can research things pretty quickly.
Yeah, the expert's proximity to their books generally indicates how effective they can be, or outright dangerous.
And then with me, with my sword and stuff, I can protect our group if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a plan.
Good stuff, good stuff. So you all prepare yourselves, steel your wills, and do as you will. As you all are about to set out, you suddenly see a pair of headlights and flashing sirens wailing through the path and come to a screeching halt in front of the abbey. As a familiar pig mask emerges, honks the horn 2 times, and seems to be ready for you guys to get in.
Alistair just looks back at the possessed grandfather. Oh, God, really?
He's just like, I know you like your car. Would you like to drive that to the lake instead?
Alistair pauses for a moment. I will concede the point this once, but know if anything happens to my friends, I know where you live.
Leslie perks up at this as he's being referred to as a friend for the first time in the entire time he's been working with Alistair.
Yes, yes, go. Alistair just kind of, yes, yes, I said it, go. We don't have much time.
Okay, all right. Wesley's going to hurry over to the truck.
It's like police car.
Or police car.
Yeah, the pig man is driving the police car, which, oh God, I just got that.
It's like,
Oh, lizard.
It's like, he had enough rage and bloodshed in him.
All right, let's move on. Let's just move on.
So there's room enough to fit 2 or 3 of you in the back and 1 in the front seat if you want, but it seems like you're only going to have 2 here.
Yeah, 2 in, 2 out.
All right. So yeah, you 2 get into the back of the car, which seems to be humming with a otherworldly energy and is a pretty spooky ride, all things considered, to be in the back of. Anything you want to say to Razorback on your way in? He's just looking back at you from like the front of the car, eyeing you, waiting instruction.
I just realized I got in the car. Shit.
Yeah, with this. Like, this is a horrifying, if not surreal, scene.
Oh, God.
It's kind of like Slimer driving the bus in Ghostbusters 2.
Something like that.
Except more homicidal.
I mean, yeah, like, you distinctly do smell blood. He seems to be just waiting for direct. So, you just direct him to drive to the lake?
Yeah.
There's the squealing of pigs and tires and your pretty sure damned souls. As you are driven in a hell of a ride, screaming through the wood, trees, and other stuff. It is a horrifying... If you weren't sure that this car was being driven by a demon from hell, you're pretty sure you would have died having crashed into so many trees and spirits and other things.
Oh, God.
And it all just builds and builds and builds and builds as you encounter more and more foes until eventually you go over a hill.
What?
The car leaps into the air, and you are going to be sent flying, and the lake makes its way out below.
No.
When I say crashing, I mean it.
As the car just careens into the lake, much to a surprised Frogger ferryman's dismay.
Dungeons & Pop is a tabletop variety show. The campaign you are listening to is a ongoing one-shot reoccurring characters campaign using the Monster of the Week system.